Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood. This is your host with the most, Nikki Carulla. Eddie Pence is doing a filming tonight. So it's me and our wonderful guest who just walked through the door, Laura Jane Jones. How are you, Laura?
I am so good.
Say hello to our studio audience.
Hi, everybody. What's going on, people?
Here they come. Here they come. And silence. Just like that. I had to give you, a standing ovation.
I like that. Thank you.
Laura,
I will revel in that standing ovation.
That's right.
Thank you. Yes.
Work it, girl.
Yes, yes.
How you been?
I've been good.
You've been busy.
I'm always busy.
You're always busy. You make me feel lazy.
What?
When I see your Facebook post, I'm like, she's all over the world singing with any and everybody, and I feel lazy.
I'm very grateful. Yes, I'm very grateful. Stay busy and stay. The key is to keep reinventing yourself.
That's true. That's
keep
very
reinventing
high five
yourself.
To that.
Okay, high five.
I like
Did you hear that.
That
slap, guys?
That's
Did
good.
You hear that
That's
slap?
Good. Another one. Booyakash.
Woo!
I like
yeah,
it.
Baby. Yeah.
Yeah. You've been singing with some very great artists, some of which are Enrique Iglesias,
yep.
Joe Cocker,
mm-hmm.
the late Joe Cocker, right?
That's right. That's right.
Aerosmith?
Yeah.
I didn't know you did backup.
I sang on their album.
That's awesome.
Their last album. It was crazy.
That must have been amazing.
It was amazing.
Did they record in L.A.?
Yes, Swing House Studios. They bought the whole place out, and my girl, Melanie Taylor, said, girl, you want to go do this session? But we didn't know it was Aerosmith. It was
you just went.
Well, we knew it was Steven Tyler, but we didn't
right.
know. It's sometimes you get calls like that in this town. You'll get a call right. from somebody. They're like, hey, do you want to do this session? It's an A-list person. And you're like, okay. And so you can kind of tell by who's calling you and
right.
what the studio is if it's going to be something. So we walked in. It was Aerosmith. And we just started. We saw Joe Perry. And we started jumping up and down. We're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
So I'm on the album.
The whole band was there?
No, it was just Joe
Perry, and Steve.
Joe and Steve and then Jack Douglas, who was the producer, who's like a legendary guy.
Well, they're the main driving
exactly.
forces.
Exactly. So it was definitely a moment to remember.
That's
definitely.
Crazy.
It was crazy.
And was it just like they had charts for you guys, or did you have to wing stuff?
No, I mean, definitely they had some ideas. And, Steven was the one who's like, I've been telling these, can I cuss on here?
Oh yeah, you can.
I've been telling these motherfuckers that we need black girls to be singing with us. He's like, I've been telling them. So he just had ideas off the cuff, and
right.
Joe was like yes or no, and then we kind of maybe added a harmony or said, why don't we do it this way in a girl voice. And once we got on the mic, we were in the studio by ourselves, but Steven just had to be up in there. He had
right.
to be with us. He had,
wow.
oh yes, he was like, I need to sing with y'all.
You're like, not now, Steven, maybe later.
It was pretty surreal. It was definitely one of those good moments, because you've got good moments, you've got
yeah.
great moments, you've got moments, this business is kind of nutty.
It's a circus.
It's a circus.
It is a circus.
I want to cry sometimes. Yeah. I'm like,
there's sometimes people are like, I kind of want to do music, but I kind of love it as a hobby. I'm like, if you can love it as a hobby, make it a hobby, because it is such a circus.
Oh my
but
gosh.
I love it. I love it too much.
I know. I've got a friend of mine. He's a dad, and he's like telling young people, and like, just get an education.
Like, be an accountant. It's so much easier.
So here we are.
Right.
It chose us, right?
But see, what the cool thing is? The great unexpected thing about a music career is the highs, like walking into a room
sure.
and seeing these rock and roll Hall of Famers
totally.
sitting in the same room with you saying, hey, let's make music.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're just going with it.
Right.
And like feeling that energy and you're like, wow. And you just, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. It's, there's some, so many good things, so many good, good things. But that's how my career started.
Right.
My career started, I was like 18 and my first session was Sound of Philadelphia. Dexter Wanzel, and I was doing a remake of Billy Paul. So my very first session was with Grammy winning.
So you're like, it's all downhill from here.
Well, no, I mean, at the time I had no idea.
Right.
But like I had moved into, I was in college in Philly and I was moving.
Where'd you go to school?
University of the Arts.
Okay.
And the Sound of Philadelphia, Gamble and Huff, still, they actually owned the building where my college was. And the college was renting from them. So
wow.
I was moving into my dorm, and I was at a 7-Eleven wearing a dashiki and some jean shorts, and I was singing, and I met a songwriter, and he was like, you know, you should come to the studio tomorrow. And I was like, this is weird. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm 18.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know.
You're like, my mommy told me about it.
Right. Don't talk to strangers.
Right.
But he said, well, the address of the record label is whatever the address was. And I was like, that's my school. And he's like, yeah, your school's downstairs. The record label's upstairs. So this was my first walking up there. Never been. It was like the OJs, Patti LaBelle.
Wow.
All these folks. And boom, I was, the next day I was doing like a session. I made $75. I thought I was like pimping.
Yeah, that's it. Isn't it like those first sessions? You just think you struck gold. You're like,
well, you've no
this
idea.
Is not work.
Right.
This is crazy.
Right.
I'm getting paid for this.
But the good thing about that whole time was that I did a lot of demos. So I learned how to be in the studio.
Right.
But like from the get-go, Dexter Wanzel was like, you're really good. And I was like,
you're like, I know.
No, I had no idea. Like, I didn't even really understand what I had walked into.
But were you studying music? You were studying?
So I went to the Boston Conservatory of Music, and then I transferred from there. And actually, I would love to tell this story,
even though
I'm not going to call out the teacher. I went to the Boston Conservatory, and I was in a performance class where we had to pick a song. And I picked a song by Aretha Franklin, and the teacher told me that I was singing too soulfully.
What?
Yes.
Seriously?
So what I? But this again, this is a while back.
No, that's a bad teacher. Generation,
so
any time.
So I quit school the next day.
Wow.
I called my dad. I said, Dad, we are not giving these people our money. Fuck them.
Was it a classical music program?
No, but it was, that school was more classically oriented.
Right. That's why they probably
said stupid stuff like that. Yeah, I transferred and went to the University of the Arts, and I was doing more theater and acting, and, you know, I've always danced. And so to have that recording experience literally the entire time I was in Philly was just mind-opening.
Right.
I was like, wow, songwriting. And then I, you know, got to know the family. And, you know, so it was a really just, it was kismet.
And it's like a small circuit. Like there's a small community in Philly. It's
And I mean, these,
everybody kind of knows everybody.
And those guys, have, you know, they've been old and retired for a long time, but the label was still open. And, you know, this was pre-internet and pre-MP3s, and it was still, it was CD sales then. But, you know, Phyllis Hyman was on their label.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she's amazing. I loved her. So that was kind of the way I started.
So you were already starting in the business.
I was starting. My first session, I was with some serious bros.
Right. It doesn't work like that for everybody.
No, it doesn't. But I was. I'm lucky.
Right.
So
right.
That was good.
Did you finish school? Did you come out to LA early?
I finished school. I have a BFA,
y'all, in
music and theater. Okay. I finished school, and then
that deserves one of these. Hold on.
Yeah.
Wait for it.
Yeah. Okay. Did you hear my little mini Riverton riff?
That's right. I love it.
Yeah, I have a degree. And
rare.
At the time, though, like I didn't, my parents, you know, my dad was a federal judge and they were like, education.
Right.
So I'm glad that I went to college.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
too.
I think I just, for me, I think I needed the discipline. Like I needed to, you know, you better get me in class.
I mean, I wanted to stop. I was ready to quit, like maybe third year.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to USC, School of Music.
Oh, shoot.
And I was like, third year, I was like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. This is not what I want to do. And I was studying opera, too. It was like, hey! So, like, all those little comments that you were getting at Boston Conservatory, I was getting it left, right, and center because I was like, my heart was in funk, soul, blues.
Right.
But I was, all my background was in classical music. So I was ready to just be done.
Right.
And Had I taken a break, I don't think I ever would have finished.
Right.
So the fact that you finished, anybody that finishes music school, I'm like, high five. You get another high five. Laura!
A high five.
So you finished school.
Finished school.
And then are you just like, what do I do now?
Well, like I was doing, back then I was like doing some musical theater. Like at the time I didn't know if I wanted to do Broadway and like Rent was happening and there were these things that were happening. So like I did a couple of musical, like Little Shop of Horrors and that kind
of thing.
And
Great show.
I went to Detroit and I did a show called Beehive and I saved up a little bit of money. Well, I mean, now I look back, I'm like, ooh, child, what was I thinking? I mean, like, I thought I had money.
Right.
Like, I didn't have shit. But I had enough to move to LA and like, get an apartment.
So you moved from Detroit?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. So I did the show in Detroit, went back to the East Coast, drove from the East Coast to the West Coast.
How did you know you wanted to come to LA?
I just figured, why not?
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You drove by yourself?
No, not by myself.
Okay.
No. That would have been crazy.
Well, it's still crazy to drive from
Philly. It was me and one girl.
That's
one of my pals
amazing.
From
and
like...
She also moved to LA?
She moved to LA, but she didn't stay.
Okay.
She didn't stay after like a year. She was like, I'm out.
And you're like, whoa.
I mean, I hadn't even got started. I got a record deal within a year.
Wow.
You know, so things started to kind of roll and then things, you know, are up and then boom, they're down.
Right.
You get dropped, you got no money, you're broke.
What was the label you were signed to?
A&M.
Oh, wow. That's a great one.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, I know some people that were signed to great labels and they just got the whirlwind. It was just like, oh, you know, there was some band they just like either got, you know, pushed under the rug because of some huge band like a... whoever, Nirvana, whatever it was, you know what I mean?
Well, back then, too, these were the days when people would release an album and they would sell 10, 15, 20 million in the first week.
Right.
You know, the artists had no control. We didn't even know what the hell was going on half the time.
Right.
You know, and people that I work with now, like Enrique, is like, I want to hear those records. I'm like, I don't have them.
Right.
I don't have it.
Right, because you'd have to buy them back for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
At this point, I wouldn't even know who to call.
Right.
You know, I mean, and then kind of, who cares?
Right.
You know, who cares?
That's a good attitude.
I mean, it's just whatever. But, so, you know, you got the highs, you get the, you know, the deal, you got an advance, and then boom, you get shelved, the advance is gone, and you're broke, and your family's on the other side of the country.
That's tough.
And, I mean, that's...
That makes you an adult real quick.
And this was the moment my dad was like, please don't move to California. Don't move to California.
Wow.
You're not going to have anybody out there. That moment's going to come. Well, that moment came, but it was... do or die.
Right.
And then your survival mechanism comes in and then you're like, oh God, let me get an agent and let me go audition and then you book this and then I was on TV singing with Monica and Aaliyah. But still
amazing.
But it was a few years there that was pretty hard. It was really up and down. I want to say this though, you guys, I always paid all my bills.
But, that's important.
And I didn't rack up credit.
Yes.
But sometimes I literally would have $20 left.
Right.
For like a month.
Right. And you're like, how am I going to make this work?
But
sometimes, like, the calls will come, like, hey, do you want to do this gig? And you're like, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Things would come up. Or, like, back then, too, it would be like, people would actually carpool. Can I get a ride?
Right.
Can we ride to work together? Like, I was, like, singing in weddings and doing all kinds of stuff, you know? I even had, like, a little part-time restaurant job at one point because I just needed some money.
Right.
So I'm like, can we ride to work together? And I'd go to the store, I'd get food from work, and then I would like maybe go get basics for the house. And
what did you think of the scene, like coming from Philly to LA, where LA it's spread out all over the place?
I was really disoriented out here for a while. Like, I mean, I didn't have a driver's license, you know, so like just driving out here just would exhaust me. I found the people. It's LA. L.A. is a great place.
Right.
And there are some really awesome people.
It's like
people
pockets. Out. You got to find the pockets.
You got to find your pockets.
Mm-hmm.
When you first get out here, people seem flaky and like opportunists. And that's kind of the nature of the beast when you first get out here. Unless you're already out here and you have people. Like now I have friends that are moving out here that I've worked with and they got their kids. And then I'm like, well, you know me and you know this person. You know this person.
And you bring them into a network.
Right. But when you're... You know.
You're fresh out of the car, so to speak.
Yeah, when you're like, 22, 23, whatever the case is.
I also feel like I came from L.A., but when I came to the city, I mean, I was from Pasadena, Arcadia to be specific. When I got to L.A.
Are you from Arcadia?
I'm from Arcadia.
But
when you get to the city, it's a different beast.
Right.
So I feel like everybody that comes to L.A., no matter where they're from, even if they're an hour away or half an hour away all the way to the other side of the coast, you have a look that I think people can read, oh, I can take advantage of you.
Right.
Because every person I know, no matter where they're from, yeah. has had some run-in with some flaky
sure.
bullshit that they've had to deal with.
And as a young woman, I think the other layer is like, I listen, hey, guys, I was a late bloomer.
Right.
Like, I was a late bloomer. I lost my virginity late. Like, I'm just being straight up. Like, I was really naive back then.
Right.
Like, I didn't realize that, oh, if you do this, then people are going to think you're doing this.
Right.
Well, if you talk to this person in this situation, they're going to think you're trying to do this,
right.
you know? And I really just did not know.
Right.
Like, sincerely.
You don't catch those vibes.
Like, I'm going to give you an example. Like, one of my first jobs, I was teaching vocals to really little kids way out in fucking, like, oh, shit, what's up the fort? Santa Clarita.
Okay.
And I was teaching voice to Zach Wilde's daughter.
Whoa.
And she was 5. She was just an adorable little girl and had really great pitch. And, to be honest with you guys, don't be mad at me, rockers. I didn't really even know who Zach Wilde was.
Right, of course.
I mean, I did, but I didn't really know. Right. Like, he's an icon.
Right.
It's not my genre. I appreciate all genres, but I just didn't come up with that genre. So, you know, one day, you know, we're talking, and he's like, hey, you know, because he would sit in on a couple of the lessons. He's like, wow, you're a really great singer and you're new in town. Why don't you give me your number and if we ever need vocals for something. So I had no idea that that probably wasn't going to happen.
Right.
But I figured, well, no big deal, right?
Right.
Next week, his wife comes in. She's like, you know, you gave your number to my husband. But I really, even still, I was like, I had no idea that
you're
that
like,
was...
Oh, I didn't know. I'm not taking it like that.
No, I mean, I literally didn't even think that that would seem inappropriate.
Right.
Like, I just did not know. And I was like, yeah, well, he just said maybe they'll need some singers sometime. And, like, I think it dawned on her. She's like, this girl really don't know. She didn't.
Right.
There was no harm intended. So just little things, little big things like that.
That's how you learn. You learn, like... the nuances.
Right.
How to do the dance,
yeah.
so to speak.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of stories. But that was a tumultuous couple of years, few years for sure. And then
what was that first little, like, dim of light?
Well,
or gleam of light is what
I mean. Well, I mean, I had done some, you know, pretty good gigs. And I had, you know, I'd been writing. I definitely had found some people. And, you know, my friend was the lead singer of the Black Eyed Peas back then. And I sang on their album. Their second album. So I had made some connections, but honestly, things didn't really turn around until I really started doing Enrique's gig.
Right.
And that was 16 years ago. And it's crazy, you know, and how much attention I got from that. Now, mind you, when I was on his gig, I was a featured singer. I was
right.
singing a duet that Whitney Houston recorded. So not only was I featured, but it was a really good feature.
Right.
So I got a lot of attention and, crazy enough, I'm still there. Lord help me.
As you should be. As you should be.
You know, but yeah, you know, it's all good. You know, it's all good. So I don't know. And
were you doing your own records at this time or did you wait?
So shortly, I mean, really pretty much after like a year or two with Enrique, I had met a few people and I felt like I had found some people that I felt safe creating with. And that's when I really started writing the first album. And it took a minute. It took a minute. It took a minute because I didn't really know what I wanted.
Right.
And
like forming all those ideas into an album, that's a whole
right.
different thing. Too.
Yeah. So it took a minute. It took a few years. And but it was a great process. And I actually, the guy who did my first album is Xavier DeFrepolis, who's now Fantastic Negrito, who won a Grammy last year for his independent, no label, no publicity album. Best,
that's amazing.
Blues contemporary album. So he's kind of like, you know, doing well and on top of the world at the moment.
That's
still
awesome.
Independent.
Wow.
Still indie.
Good for him.
Well, you know, you get to a point, like now it's like, okay, well, I already have my people doing this, and I'm already licensing $100,000 a year, and,
right.
you know, maybe this and that or the other. So you get to a point when you already have your machine going like that, you're like, well, what are you going
what are you gonna
to
do for me?
For me?
Yeah. I know the feeling.
Then you get, then you become selective. So, but anyway, yeah, he did my first album, and that's just great. It's great to see him successful and doing his thing.
Were you touring with Enrique every summer, every year?
I mean, it was pretty busy for like the first like three years, and then there was kind of a break. I mean, the thing about Enrique is that unlike some of these, Enrique is the CEO of his company,
right.
And you know, he's also has real estate and all these other ventures that he's got, and alcohol, and now he's got restaurants, and you know, he's got all this stuff, and you know, he was never wanted to be a complete slave to the road.
You probably learned that from his dad.
Right. So he's always had a little bit more balance, I felt like, because it's never been like, I'm going out with Katy Perry and I'm signing a 2-year contract and I can't do anything else within that 2 years. I've appreciated like going out for maybe 3-4 months, coming home, and like you can do other things and you can do other sessions and you can write and you can sing on commercials and whatever else may come, you know, your way.
And it, you're not also hurting, too, because you have this cushion of the tour that it's coming and going.
Yeah.
So you kind of have work when you're home, work on the road.
Right.
That's the ideal.
That's the
ideal.
Some
people get locked into one, and then they come back home, and there's nothing. You
know
what I mean? Because they've been on the road for so long.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, everything is it's kind of balanced out, you know? I mean, I feel like I still have my feet surely planted in LA. The landscape has changed definitely in the last 5-6 years. A lot of things are changing, as you know.
Yeah.
Medias are changing. A lot of things have been happening with the unions and making sure people get paid right.
Right.
You know, we've got, you know,
it's still a work in progress.
We've got all the stuff that's been happening with the streaming and everything with that. So, I mean, it's you kind of have to just really keep your eye on the ball. I mean, you kind of got to know what's going on.
You kind of know where and when to hustle and when to lay back, right?
And also just to be aware of some of the issues that are now facing us as songwriters and producers, and like how do we get paid? Is, you know, so you got the, you know, Music Modernization Act. You've got the streaming thing. You know, that the government recently stepped in, and you know, because these companies, as we all know, have private companies, there's been no standard or mechanism to really count how many times this has been streamed, and they can decide, I'm going to pay you this.
Right.
And that's been the
streaming
issue.
Rate is ridiculous, too.
Right. And let's not forget, people, anyone that's listening, that's your intellectual property.
Right.
You have a right to fight for that. You have a right to say no.
I don't even have my music on Spotify for that reason.
I don't have it on Spotify
because
either.
Because artists think, oh, yeah, I'll just put it out there. And, you know, meanwhile, Spotify is making advertising revenue.
Right.
And the artist isn't getting cut in on any of that.
That's
and they're
what
still, like, putting music out there. I'm like, no, it's not the way to do it.
It's just whatever people do believe and however they want to do their business, they need to understand what that is.
Yeah.
Spotify is making a killing, y'all.
Right.
A lot.
Right.
Are you?
Right.
And if you're not, that's a problem.
Well, the crazy thing is, like, Spotify employees are each making 6 figures.
Right.
And I don't know very many Spotify artists that are making that. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
So it's just,
see, I did not know that you dropping some knowledge.
Yeah, man. I definitely do my homework. Speaking of intellectual property, what are we going to play first? I want to play some music.
Okay. Well, okay. So I sent you, it was kind of a, like a, I did a whole bunch. I have so much music that is not released, but I did release this dance track, Love High, last year. We can play that. That's
Let's
kind of a
that.
Fun track. It's it's fun. I like the lyrics and it's just kind of fun. And then I'll play you the other.
All right. Yeah. Here's Laura Jane, Love High.
Love High.
You got me. I'm tripping on love high.
Man, that made me want to like get into the gym and start working out. It was high energy.
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of stuff recorded like that. I have like a whole album.
You're just oozing with music.
Yeah,
I love it.
I have a lot of stuff. But that's been kind of the issue the last like several years. I'm like, what do I want to do?
Right.
I like this and I like that. So I think I might finally be like turning the corner. I'm like, I think I'm going to go this direction.
You know what? If you're not like that, then it's like, what's the point of being an artist?
Right. And you know, I kind of feel now, Nikki, I kind of feel like now you can kind of do whatever you want.
Yes.
And like,
absolutely.
I mean, you can do whatever you want. You know it's going to be great. You know, if you get with great people, you know it's going to be mastered. You know you're going to have great art. You're going to have great content.
Yeah.
So now I'm just like, I'm more in a space. Like, what do I want to say? Like,
yeah. Is it political? Is it fun? Is it, you know, carefree?
I write a lot of poetry. I've always written a lot of poetry. So I'm like, I really want to write from that perspective rather than...
You're romantic.
Yeah, or just like things. There's things I want to say.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I've got some interesting collaborations.
I don't know if you feel like this, but as I get older too, it's like, ooh, what do I want to leave behind? Is
right.
it stories about
right.
things that people can think about and get it pulpy, or is it just a simple love song that just, you know, hits people?
Because right.
everybody's always going to be chasing love. So that's always going to be something.
Right.
I love daydreaming in music. It's
yeah,
one of my favorite things
totally.
Ever.
It's these...
But there's, you listen to like, you know, Marvin Gaye.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, wait a minute. What am I really doing? Like,
right.
He's raised the bar. We should be raising the bar as artists. So it's mm-hmm. I always kind of weigh that with anything I'm wanting to do. I'm sure
right.
you do as well.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's funny because yesterday I had lunch with a friend of mine. And of course, you know, we're talking about losing Aretha Franklin. You know, God bless her soul. I don't know what I would
Amen,
do.
Sister.
I don't know what I would do without someone like her influencing my life. And we're having the same conversation. Who are the icons? Who are the legends now? Who's going to be like the people look back on? And there are definitely some that have made serious impact on a lot of levels.
Right.
There are some, but our question was, is like, but will those songs become classics?
Right.
And will those songs be sung over and over and over and again and again and again?
Like an Aretha song.
Right.
Right, right.
So, yes, you've got Beyonce. You've got Alicia Keys. You've got Justin Timberlake. You've got some people that are pretty badass that have done some pretty major stuff.
Right.
You know, but will some of those songs be reinvented and sung broken down with a piano later
right.
on? And like,
yes.
And that's the question.
I love that you said that because I think that all the time.
Yeah.
And most people, they just consume so much music like in the now.
Right.
That they don't think about that timeless factor.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I heard Michael Jackson, it was like, no one's ever going to get tired of this, ever.
Right.
And still, people are not tired of it.
No.
It'll never get tired.
It's played at
you know
every
I mean?
Wedding.
Yeah. I mean, and it's
and everyone's
always...
dancing like they heard it for the first
yeah.
time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I always think about that because a Taylor Swift song, to me, it doesn't hit me in the same
right.
way. You know what I mean?
Right.
There is music that does. When I listen to Bruno Mars, I'm like, you're timeless, brother. Like,
right.
you are going to be, you know,
right.
that... When I hear Jill Scott, too, I'm like...
And you've got Adele, but,
yeah.
like, my friend made a good point. It's like, but then why won't someone like Beyonce you know, just do an Adele record.
Right.
Like, turn, change it up.
Right.
I mean, you know, singers, just break it down. Songs. Right. Where are the songs? You know, so that's an interesting question.
I like them. You know what? That's why you exist.
Hello.
You're asking the right questions.
We're going to ask the right questions.
That's right.
Okay.
But it's the truth. It's the truth. I don't think artists ask that question enough.
Right.
Everybody's just wanting to churn out songs. And it's like, you know, take a step back and listen to what you're really putting out there. Mm-hmm. And don't be flagrant. Everybody wants to just make it, but it's not about that.
Right.
You know?
And it's also like, I'm not saying, like, don't get me wrong, people. I'm not saying don't take yourself, on the other hand, I'm not saying don't take yourself too seriously. I mean, like, you know, it is fun, but I just feel like we need more balance with some of the content.
I feel like we need more pulp, like really good songs, songwriters, stories,
not production.
No, like, that's what I'm, and like the feeling that I like the things that I think about. I feel like music is becoming homogenous. It's all starting to sound the same.
I mean, and that's the other thing that, like, so I ran into Jimmy Earle, who plays in the Jimmy Kimmel Band, we do yoga at the same place.
Oh, that's awesome.
So every time we're like, you want to get a green juice after, we're just sitting there talking, and we're talking about the musicians coming up now. And what's also very interesting is that there's a lot less music education now. Like, when I was coming up, there was music, but there's a lot less. But some of these musicians are badass.
Right.
And we're like, where is this coming from? And I'm like, it's coming from the internet.
Right.
You know, they can, I want to hear flamenco. I wasn't exposed to flamenco until I was an adult, you know.
True. Very true.
So it's in, and then now these kids that are recording, I'm like, wow. You know, cause
how do you do that?
Well, they're so used to hearing auto-tune.
Right.
So they are coming in. Their whole approach to a vocal is like, it's kind of, it's good in a way. It's just interesting because some of them are just killing it, you know.
Right.
And in terms of homogenization, it's like, you know, I mean, I guess the 2000s is really when everybody really started listening to everything together. You know, because now it's like, is he white? Is he black? Is he what? Like, everyone, which is cool in some sense, but then have we lost authenticity?
I love, Laura, you're awesome.
Are you you called?
I'm like, this girl is just speaking the thoughts that are in my inner soul. I mean, it's the truth, though. It's the truth.
You know?
These are all things I think about. And it's the other thing, too. It's like, the impact is very short-lived with songs and musicians today. It's like churning out a pop song and a pop star, too. There's not like, you know, you think of a band like a U2 or, you know, Duran Duran. Those bands went decades. They went, you know, now it's like an artist goes 4 or 5 years and they're done.
Right.
And they're already on the casino tours and doing smaller, you know.
Well, again, I mean, that's like the industry has changed. The landscape has changed, and it's also good to intellectually, if you want to be in this business, the bottom line is it's great if you want to be a star and you want to be in the front, but you got to understand how the machine works,
how
it's going to build you and how it's going to destroy you.
Right.
Because it's going to destroy you or try to destroy you. It will.
Right.
We've seen it with everybody.
Right. Prince.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that was a shocker for me.
So, I mean, you have to, it's great that people want to be out front and they want, but you need to understand the business. And if you don't understand it, I mean, you won't sustain.
Let's talk a little bit about Joe Cocker. You worked with Joe Cocker.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about
that. So how was that experience?
Awesome.
He's such a badass.
I really appreciated that experience. You know, it's just kind of right up my alley. And vocally, it's kind of just what I do naturally. And I'm a soprano. And it was just really, really a great experience. He was just a gentleman. And I did his last tour.
Wow.
So that was just great. I'm just so grateful. You know, that I had that experience.
And you got to hear him night after night. I mean, what a voice.
What a voice. I mean, he definitely made his mark. He definitely contributed to history. And it was cool. It was just really, really cool.
Every time I heard him sing, I was like, I don't know how this guy's white. You know, it's just like, he's so soulful. Like, he was just, you just dig into the trenches
of
his soul.
You know, England, man, there's something in the water.
Yeah.
There's something in the water up there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's time and time again, you've seen this in England.
What was your favorite song to do with him?
Probably A Little Help from my friends.
Oh, that's a classic.
Yeah, I'm sure that was the one. Yeah.
Did you ever do Bye Bye Blackbird?
No, not on that on this tour. Man. No.
That's got the best of the background parts and stuff. It's so good.
You know, things change. There's so much. There's so much repertoire. It's like, what do you do? Like, So, but.
And then we'll push the current record and stuff like that. Right.
But it was great. It was really, really great. I really enjoyed it.
Who's an artist that you've been waiting to work for or with? Is there somebody you're like, oh my God, I would just love to collaborate? Because I always have that in the back pocket. Like,
well,
there's always people like that I'm dying to work with.
I mean, I would do anything to like share the stage for like half a second. I'll be a fly on the wall with like Radiohead.
Right.
I also like, I am a huge fan of Ledisi.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's just my kind of singing. Like, she's just soulful and just all up in there. And just like, oh, if I could just sing back up for her for like half a day, I'd just be happy.
You're like, that's it.
Just to this be in her presence.
That's it.
I don't know. I guess there's a lot. I mean, and then in some ways you think Tina Turner or you think, you know, I mean, I've got friends that have worked with Tina. And I don't know. There's a lot.
Yeah. There's a long list.
There's a long list.
Well, let's get to another song. What do you want to play next?
Let's play... let's play The Answer, because I'm going to re-release this year.
Ooh, I like it.
And I'm going to do a new video, which is coming out. The video is almost done. And this song is just, so I'm going to tell everyone why I wanted to re-release this. First of all, it's just vocals and percussion. Percussion is by Jamar Gomes, who's from Bahia, Brazil, and he worked with me in Enrique's band. And this was a poem that I wrote, like, 20 years ago, and I've never been able to shake it, and I wanted to re-release it because it's called Love is the Answer, and I feel like it is something that we need to say and remind each other of.
I love it.
And say it over and over and
over. Let's hear it. Laura Jane, this is The Answer.
All right.
Love is never ending. Love is all the time. Love is everywhere for each and every kind. Love is omnipotent and like a river flows. Love is an ocean that swims between the souls. Love is never ending. Love is all the time. Love is everywhere. Each and every kind. Love is omnipotent and like a river flows. Love is an ocean that swims between the stars. Love is so-
God, thank
yeah,
you. I got applause again.
That was awesome. Silence! I like it. I can just cut him off. That was killer.
You like that?
Just percussion and voice.
Percussion and voice.
Killer vocals. Killer harmonies.
Thank you.
Most singers don't know how to sing harmonies like that.
Well,
so
I love
awesome.
Harmonies. I love
me
doing
too.
The harmonies. I love creating
them. It's my favorite,
them.
Actually.
Me too. And my friend Jason Page helped me with this arrangement because it was one of these things where, like, I had written this poem. And I had melody ideas, but, you know, when you just, I was stuck.
Right.
In the, and, like, all I needed was someone to, like, try this.
Right.
Try, you know. So it was just funny how, you know, just collaborating can just really make the flower really totally bloom.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also, like, I like that you took it to the roots level where it's, like, just rhythm, just voice. Make a track and it's full.
Yeah.
It's like you hear parts.
I had no idea how this was going to turn out. Like, I really had no idea at the time. I'm like, well, let's just, I knew.
Awesome.
I was like, it's a poem. I want it to sound like a choir of angels, but I want something rhythmic. I don't want guitar. I don't
right.
I want something primal.
Yeah. So, you did it.
Yeah. And I was
you
like, holy
it.
Shit.
It's like neo soul with like this rootsy primal thing.
Yeah. It's I like
badass.
Thank you.
Loved it.
Thank you. Love is the answer. People spread that
That's
message.
Right.
We need more love.
And when
in
are you
the
releasing
world.
The video? You said you're about to shoot it, or did you already?
We've
shoot
already
it?
Shot it. It's
okay.
Just about editing it. Yeah, which.
That's the fun part. You know what I did for my last video, which was crazy.
What?
And it was way too much that I took on myself. So. I did a video. Mm-hmm. We shot it all one day.
Okay.
And we had four cameras. Okay,
okay,
cool. We had a
great.
Drone and three regular cameras. No problem. Director sends me an edit. I was like, this can't. I know the shots that we got. This is not what I'm feeling.
Right.
So I was like, give me all of the camera shots. Not thinking that this would take. This would be so labor intensive. And I had to sit there and go through all four cameras and write the seconds
yes.
that I liked shots.
Yes.
And then whittle those down. I mean, it was like, this is gnarly. I can't imagine making a movie like this.
Oh my God. That's
let
why
alone
take,
a 3-minute video.
Right.
A 4-minute
that's why
video.
This shit takes so long.
Yes. Yes. So I really marvel at editors and the patience that they have
yes.
when I see a film or a yep. music video. So
once you understand what that really is and really get the gist of what that process is, it's like, oh.
So you got all the footage. You just have to go through it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've gone through it, you know, but, you know, it just takes time. It
takes a
yeah,
long
it takes,
time.
It takes time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but I'm excited.
Have
love
you made an edit of it yet? Or are you
yes.
just not even that? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
You whittle and whittle and whittle. Widow.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So let's play another track. But before we do that,
yes,
you've been touring with all kinds of artists. And I love that you're like really headstrong about pursuing yourself as the artist.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I'll sing background for you and I'll sing some solos and duets and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is who I really am. How do you put on that different hat? Like changing... It's like changing of the guard, essentially with the same person.
Well, I think for me, I think being the artist and being in the front was the thing that I needed to really come to. Like, it was, I definitely was never shy, but I always was, like, in groups.
Right.
My record deals were with girl groups.
Right.
Like, I was always a collaborator. I always just liked to be around people.
Right.
You know, I think being a solo artist is really hard. It's
right.
It's lonely. It's tough. You got to take care of shit. You know, and sometimes it's just really hard. So I just enjoy being a part of an entity. I enjoy being, you know, a part of an entity where the person thinks I'm valuable and they like what I bring to it. And I go in there, I'm like, hey, 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 and boom, I'm out the door.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm going to go do my other thing.
Right.
You know, so I it's just kind of come naturally. I think the thing for me that was harder was really just owning that I'm in the front and I'm the,
right.
I am the artist.
You're like, I am the show. I'm driving the bus.
I have something to say.
Right.
I can definitely carry a night singing. I've got a strong voice. Like I, you know, but like, you know, my own show flow. I'm like, once you really get into it, you're like, you need, what's the first song? What's the second song
right.
of the show? Like,
I see. I love that.
Yeah.
It's like you're like a chef. You're like making the menu.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
So I don't know. I enjoy collaborating. I enjoy working with people. I enjoy facilitating people getting
right.
together. You know, I've got some people this weekend that I don't know, maybe I'll be a writer, but I just know that this person should get together with this person. This guy's a big time film composer and this guy's fresh off the boat from Brazil. And I'm like, y'all are going vibe. Right. So let's have a little like wine and cheese in my house. Yeah. I got a little piano. Bring your guitar.
I'll make some music jambalaya.
Let's see what happens. So I don't know. I've always, but that's the producer side of me. Like I have a side of me that is like, I'm very intuitive with people. I'm like, you know, you should get together with this person. You guys should work together. And some people later on are like, damn, how'd you know that? I'm not afraid also to do that.
Right.
To give a lot. Let me tell you something, people. Don't be out there and just trying to take. You need to give. And
yeah, when you gotta give.
You gotta give.
You gotta give.
And when you give, you will get.
That's
so.
Right. What do we play next? I see Dear Rita. Tell
yeah, let's play
this.
That one. So Dear Rita, this is a song. This is about my biological mother. Her name is Rita. And I wrote this song many years ago again. And, you know, it's me thinking of her. And I did end up finding her. So that's a good thing. So that's what this is about. So I'm not in love with a woman named Rita when you hear this. Okay, people.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So
here comes Dear Rita by Laura Jane.
Yep.
gritty. I loved it.
Thank you. Thank
Edgy.
You. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
heavy.
Painful.
Painful.
I wanted painful.
Laura, where can people find you if they want to get a hold of you to sing on the record, play a gig,
awesome.
Or just check out your music?
Okay. Well, I have a website. So it's www.laurajanemusic.net. So there's that. And you can email me there. I also, Facebook is Sweet Laura Jane. And Twitter is Sweet Laura Jane. And Instagram is Ms_Jane Jones with a Z.
Love it.
You can find me, boo.
Laura, you've been an amazing guest.
Thank you.
And you're going to have to come back. Laura, you were one of our first guests in the first year of this show.
I know.
So I can't wait to keep bringing you back.
Let's
we're going to bring
it,
you back
bro.
And bring
Let's
you back.
It,
but we're going to end the show with a tribute to Lady Soul herself.
Yes.
The Queen of Soul. I got to give a shout out to Aretha Franklin. This is a song called Good to Me as I Am to You. It features Eric Clapton, Duane Allman, and Aretha's actually playing piano on this. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
You probably didn't know that. And you just
I may have.
This is Aretha playing piano and singing her ass off. So, Aretha, we miss you. You will always be the Queen of Soul. On behalf of Eddie Pence, myself, and Laura, we'll see you guys next week. Take a listen. I wonder could I borrow yours?